I'd like to call this meeting to order. If everybody could please rise and join me with the pledge to the flag.
And pledge to allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, as per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough of Highlands Planning Board and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, and notice has been posted on the public bulletin board. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Here.
Mr. Schulmer?
Here.
Ms. Peterson?
Here.
Ms. Ruby? Absent. Mary Mullen? Absent. Mr. Redman?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher? Mr. Colby?
Here.
Mr. Russo? Mr. Stockton?
Here. And we do have a call. Okay. On our agenda, there are no motions for adjournment and any other motions under item 5. There are no items under new business at number 6. So we jump down to item number 7 on the agenda, approval of resolution, PB number 2012-2, John Hune, Block 14, Lot 2.014 at 22 Grand Tour. And in your packets, you do have the resolution for that. Is there any discussion on that?
No? Here.
Entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schulmer?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Stockton?
Abstain.
Mr. Colby?
Abstain.
Okay. Motion passes. Under item 8 on the agenda, unfinished or adjourned hearings, there are none. Under item 9, hearings on new business, there are none. Under item 10, action on any other business, we have review of Council Resolution R-12-203, determining the entire borough in need of rehabilitation. And I guess tonight we have Bruce Padula, the borough attorney. Might give us a little quick overview of what the council...
Why don't we get you sworn? Because you're going to actually testify as a witness, right?
Sure. I guess if you'd like me to.
Yeah. I'm happy to. Okay. Please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear your testimony about to give this matter the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do, yes.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I just thought I'd give you a little bit of background about this resolution. This resolution was not actually adopted by the council. This is part of a bipartisan effort by the council, supported by Mayor Nolan and Council President Kane, to move forward with a tax exemption ordinance. You might hear it referred to as tax abatement. It comes out of a Title 40A governing municipalities that provides, enables municipalities to do a tax abatement or a tax exemption. Abatement is when you reduce somebody's tax ratables. This is an exemption where it exempts an improvement to added assessments to property. So it encourages homeowners to improve some property. It encourages improvements to commercial, industrial structures. But a condition precedent to adopting the ordinance is finding an area in need of rehabilitation. This is not an area in need of redevelopment. This is not part of a redevelopment plan. It's simply an area in need of rehabilitation as defined by the statute. So the council prepared this resolution, and before adopting it, we're required to send it to the planning board for review. Once you review it, send it back with or without recommendations, and then the council can consider it for adoption. Once that's considered, then we can move forward with the tax exemption ordinance. Now, just to give you a little bit more information about the exemption, it exempts improvements to residential, mixed-use, consumer, and industrial properties. It does not decrease ratables, as I said. There is a statutory option to provide that, but the council did not want to do that. They did not want to reduce any tax base. It's just to encourage people to, like I said, improve their property, and rather than whack them with a tax bill, once that improvement is done, it phases it in over 5 years. It provides an exemption, actually only up to 30% of the improvement for commercial, industrial, and mixed use, and up to $25,000 of the added assessment on residential property. Part of the rehabilitation declaration, if you want to call it, or findings, are things that are consistent with what are in your master plan and what's consistent with what this board has done and prior ordinances in the past. This is not new to the Borough of Highlands. This has been done in 1980. It was also done in 1995. It's only good for 10 years, so now it's coming up again. So that's why we're revisiting this rehabilitation designation. In 1995, the Planning Board agreed that the entire municipality was an area in need of rehabilitation. In your current master plan, it has several elements that contribute to this finding of an area in need of rehabilitation. The median age of your housing stock that is 1962, the median age of your housing. Nearly 60% of the housing in the borough was constructed before 1970, and in fact, 23% of the housing was built before 1939. So you can see there is an age there. And part of your identified goals in your master plan talk about utilizing tax incentives to encourage rehabilitation and things of that nature. So I don't want to go on and on. I'm happy to answer any questions or address any concerns or anything that anyone might have.
Okay. Does anybody on the board have any questions?
In the previous designations, were there maps and findings and studies done in order to develop the so-called areas of rehabilitation?
That I do not know. All I know is I went back and looked at the 1980 ordinance. There was no finding. All it made the conclusion. Actually, it didn't say anything. I have a copy of it here if you'd like to see it. It doesn't say anything about that, but if you go back to the 1995 resolution, our ordinance, it says that the Highlands Planning Board advised the governing body by letter dated October 31st, that the board had 1995, that the board had reviewed the issue of the readoption of a tax abatement program and was in favor of designating all properties within the borough as areas in need of rehabilitation. Now, and you can't just make that finding. There's statutory criteria that, right, if you want me to go through, there's a couple different ways you could do it. Some of it, your housing stock, a majority of your housing stock has to be greater than 50 years old. We don't have that, but there's another way you could do it where it talks about a substantial portion. I don't know if substantial is the exact word, but it talks about a portion being substandard condition or vacant or things like that. And if you look at your census data, and I think even in your master plan, you identify that 13% of the housing stock, there's a vacancy. And if you go to the most current census data, it's even higher than that. I think it's up to 16%, but I'm not completely positive.
That was actually written in the ordinance.
Is it in the ordinance? Okay, so I got that from the census data. Yeah,
it was 16.6%.
Mm-hmm. Anything that's in the ordinance, I prepared the ordinance, or the resolution. That information was obtained either from your master plan and or 2010 census data.
I have a question. I mean, so clearly this has been done twice before.
Yes.
Was there any sense or assessment or an evaluation of whether or not it was successful? And it seems like the answer would be no if we're here again 20 years later, declaring it a need of rehabilitation.
I don't know if that's been done, but I would argue that that's not necessarily the case, that it wasn't successful, because as time goes by, I think 1980, that was 32 years ago. A house that was fine in 1980, 32 years later, might be...
Yeah, my question really is, at the time when it was done before, nobody looked at it and said, you know, evaluated it, said, was this a successful program, you know, that it's something we want to
I
do
don't
again,
know.
Or...
I don't know about that. I've heard...
Take us up on it, or...
That I don't know. I've heard anecdotally, without any firsthand knowledge, that some officials didn't even know that you had it at the time, 10, 15 years ago, or whenever it was, in the mid-90s. But that, I don't even know whether that's true or not.
Something that I think from a procedural point of view, so everybody on the board understands what the board's task is. Okay. Under 40A:12A-4, the powers of municipal governing body and the planning board, in exercising redevelopment and rehabilitation functions provided for in the Act A, this is the powers of the governing body, shall have the priority of 4. Determined pursuant to section 12A-14 that an area is in need of rehabilitation. So it's the governing body that makes that determination. The municipal planning board has the power under that sort of scenario, as opposed to redevelopment, to make recommendations concerning the determination of an area in rehabilitation pursuant to section 12, 48:12A-14. 48:12A-14 is really the key that's used. And as Mr. Padula said in his resolution, the language that's quoted in the resolution comes from here. Okay. The task is that before the mayor and council can adopt the resolution that's been forwarded to you for review, the governing body has to submit it to the planning board for our review. We have 45 days from its receipt to submit recommendations regarding the resolution, including any modifications which it may recommend for the governing body to reconsider. And we've got 45 days to do it, and thereafter they do with it as they please. So that's our function under the rehabilitation statutes.
Well, it certainly didn't do any harm. And a lot of people did take advantage of it prior to 1980. There was a lot of people who were even afraid to do minor improvements because they didn't want their taxes to go up. Simple as siding up to that point. But anybody's been here for that amount of time, there's a tremendous amount of people took advantage of tax abatement, whatever you want to call it. I did myself on one piece of property. Encourages building, and we wouldn't want to discourage that.
My research has shown, I think there's approximately 75 municipalities in the state that have done some form or variation of this. There's another variation of it that allows you to do it in municipalities that have an urban enterprise zone. It's almost identical to this section. It's done under a different statute, but practically it's almost identical, and I do have some experience with that. I was the borough attorney or city attorney in a city in Hudson County that did it under that statute about 10 years ago, and they did see some substantial rehabilitation and reuse of industrial commercial properties.
And rehabilitation is a lot different than redevelopment, I guess.
Right. I mean, I got to admit, I don't do land use, so I know there's a substantial difference. Mr. Serpico, I'm sure, can tell you between redevelopment and rehabilitation. This rehabilitation designation has nothing to do, at least for the reason it's coming to you now, with a redevelopment plan or a redevelopment area. Actually, you could do this tax exemption pursuant to a redevelopment designation, but that's not the way we're going. This is just an area in need of rehabilitation under the 48:12A-14.
Okay. Is there an advantage of the whole town as opposed to parts of the town?
I like the whole town because then you don't pick and choose. Everybody is given the same opportunity. You know, you might cut it off at whatever street you want to cut off on, then the person on the other side of the street is going to cause a stink. You know, the characteristics in the ordinance fit the whole town, so you might as well do the whole town. That way everyone has equal opportunity.
That's not such a small town.
Right. I mean, you're not...
Area. Yeah. I mean, the bid was a different story because when they drew that line, people were paying. People didn't want to be included in the bid assessment. I know they moved that for me. The line was the bridge and that changed.
Any other? And so this isn't envisioned by the council as something to rehabilitate housing. It's more as an incentive for people to, as Larry says, build or develop or improve it.
It applies to current housing that you want to, whether you want to say rehabilitate or improve.
Right.
The statute talks about rehabilitating housing stock, right, and things like that, and that's the reason behind it. It also applies to mixed-use property, commercial property, and even vacant property. So improvements.
But new development and rehabilitation? I mean, some of them.
Yes. Yes.
Well, how do you figure something that's new?
Yeah.
How do you do that? If somebody builds a new house, that whole house can't be exempt from tax.
No, it's up to 30%.
So for example, there's a property on the corner of Shrewsbury Avenue, a huge house, hard to miss it, being built, where there was an existing one done.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's probably half done, three quarters done. Would that now have an exemption from their property taxes?
It may. I can't speak exactly because I didn't study that much into it. I was really focusing more on the rehabilitation designation because that's really the purpose of the resolution. before you. It's not to get into the tax abatement ordinance, but I'm happy to get into it. I just preface that because I don't want to be on the record saying something that might not be entirely accurate. But there are certain conditions when you're doing new construction as opposed to rehabbing an existing structure, meaning the rehab of the existing structure up to $25,000 is exempted under the new construction. I believe there's that 30% limit, but there's also, under that section, it's not necessarily done administratively with a form. There has to be an agreement between the council and the homeowner. So there's different factors to be
considered. What are you quoting from? What document?
What's that?
The things you're just mentioning, the criteria. What is that coming from?
Oh, the statutes. There's two statutes that come into play here. The statute that lets you do this 5 years, and this is only for 5 years.
Oh, this is the redevelopment.
It's right. The statute is the 5-year exemption and abatement law. It's good for 10 years, so if it's enacted this year, it'll be in existence for until 2022. But if you get an exemption under it, that exemption is only good for 5 years. So that law is 4821-1 and what follows after that. Now, like Mr. Serpico said earlier, part of that is finding the area in need of rehabilitation or the area in need of redevelopment before you can do this ordinance. The council chose to do it as an area in need of rehabilitation. But that has a definition. And if you look in the statute I just quoted to you, it refers actually to the redevelopment section, which is 40A12A-1, and the statutes that follow it, that give us the definition of an area in need of rehabilitation.
It's also good to help those folks who want to conform to the floodplain. They're not. That passage is going through Shrewsbury Avenue, that's now out of the floodplain, and that's a few people that raise it.
So this rehabilitation could be used for rehabilitation or development, it'd be fair to say.
Well, in terms of the exemption ordinance, it could apply to redevelopment, yes. But not redevelopment in the sense of a redevelopment plan.
If someone wanted to tear down their house and build a new one, that would be...
Yes, I believe so, or at least that would be... It's not written off that, no, you can't do it. Right. So, I mean, if you're talking about tear downs and rebuilding, I'd have to look back at the statutes of the ordinance. But along those lines, yes, that would be something that is considered.
Now, what would the process be for the homeowners and residents to take advantage of the program?
They would have a
process with the council in addition to...
It's an application. It's a form you fill out, and the tax assessor is a big part of this. Tax assessors know a lot about it. They refer to it as Chapter 441, because that's the law that goes back to 1991 that started this whole thing. And there's an application process, and everything gets looked at, and then it gets signed off on. And, you know, for certain instances, it eventually comes to the council, and some it's just done with the tax assessor.
Administrative.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Me.
I do see some members from the public. I'll open it up to the public for any questions of the witness here. Seeing none? Oh, yes, sir.
I'll ask a question. Brian Cobb of the Recreation Place. I am concerned that this might come late. I may have missed. This is up to maximum. I'll address Bruce. So I'm sure the details. Up to a 30% abatement for 5 years on assessed value of your property.
It's not an abatement. It's an exemption of improvements to the property. So no one's taxes are going down. Right. They're just not going up as fast as they normally would have, which might discourage people from utilizing or improving the property.
So you get this it's 5 years.
5 years.
You get a 5-year freeze before you get reassessed?
Whatever the assessor's value of the added improvement is,
right.
Then it applies to that.
Okay. And it's 30%, I'm confused now, is it 30% of the increased assessed value, or is it...
I don't want to misspeak, so let me find the actual statute. For residential improvements, it's up to $25,000 of the improvement. So the assessed value is up to $25,000 is exempted from an added assessment.
So if you add $100,000 to pay taxes on $75,000.
Right.
then it flips to 100%.
As an improvement, right?
You have to improve it. You have to
improve right.
It.
So
you're already on
up to 25,000.
And that's right.
He's not under oath.
I'm sorry.
No, we'll put you under oath.
Let's say you have an assessed property of $100,000, and you put on another $100,000 in an improvement on it, and that's the assessor's true value of that. So $25,000 of that is exempted from taxes. So you pay taxes now. Your rateable is $175,000 instead of going up to $200,000.
And then at the end of the 5-year period, you
goes to the $200,000, or I guess if you're doing an assessment, whatever the value is at that time.
And what I'm concerned about is that there is no, you mentioned some conditions. I don't know if you're clear on the specific conditions that the property has to have. Is it, you said the entire town can apply for this?
The task here is to review the resolution that finds the borough an area need of rehabilitation.
Areas, so now limiting it to certain areas.
You could do that, but what the mayor and council have proposed is the entire municipality, because the statute lets you do the entire municipality rather than certain areas. And it, to some extent, it wouldn't be fair to pick and choose certain areas.
Did you say unfair? I didn't hear
it that. Would not be fair to pick and choose, an area.
I thought that was the purpose of tax exemption zones and like the IKEA up on up north and things like that.
Well, right. I mean, if you took like the IKEA by the airport, right. You're talking about that. And that's actually the. Were you here when I mentioned I had done this before 10 years ago?
Yes.
That was in a municipality with an urban enterprise zone, but it was also a 1-square-mile municipality, and they decided to do the entire municipality. So maybe a city like Elizabeth might have certain areas that need this more or less, or fit the criteria more or less. But here, since the entire municipality would satisfy the criteria, and it's not. Really large area wise.
I beg to differ. I mean, we're talking about certain properties in this town that are not in need of tax abatement to justify a developer or a homeowner spending the extra dollars. And that's what I'm
right. Thinking. There's always certain properties that
that's
are.
Just my opinion.
No, sure. And there's always going to be a certain property. Let's say you pick one street, one block. There might be a house on that street that doesn't fit the criteria. But. Do you want to get into drawing those lines?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you do. I mean, to some extent, and I think these are all great questions, but these are really questions that go more towards the ordinance. Your prior question is about, how much is spaced in and that. And we're going to have that discussion, because you can comment on it at the council meeting if and when it's introduced, at the public hearing for it.
The planning board is, it's not the planning board's job to decide the lines or whatnot. That's for the ordinance.
Right. There's two parts to this. There's this resolution that they're considering now, which is the area in need of rehabilitation, and then there's the ordinance that provides the tax exemption. Part of the process, the statutory process, is that before adopting the resolution about rehab, the mayor and council have to send it to the planning board for their review.
Very good.
And the criteria for our review would be
it doesn't really delineate any criteria. It doesn't tell me.
It doesn't have to be the 50% housing before 1950. It doesn't have to be any other.
No,
criteria.
Well, the council, that's the council's, that's what the council had to do in order to create the resolution. They have to do that. We don't do that. We're not tasked with finding out if all of the properties meet these percentages and all that. That's the council's job. Our job, like a lot of times we'll get resolutions that'll say, you have to find whether or not the proposed zoning ordinance is consistent with the master plan. And if so, say so. And if not, state that. There's no criteria that we have here that tells us what exactly we're supposed to be looking at, other than we're allowed to make general comments. But the actual statutory criteria as to what goes into determining whether or not an area is in need of rehabilitation is the council's task to follow that. They have to follow that.
Council should choose to draw lines.
The council can draw the lines. The council has to do their homework to make sure that they meet the statutory criteria to determine an area in need of rehabilitation.
Okay.
That's not what we do. We don't set up a series of hearings, get information in on the housing stock, how old is the housing stock and all that. That's all taken care of, if at all, which it should be. It's taken care of on the council level, not at this level.
I thought that was the certainly in rehabilitation, the planning board is charged with hiring people to investigate the...
No, not for rehabbing. No, it's
just... No, but I'm talking about if we redevelop.
Redevelopment, but redevelopment is a whole other beast.
Correct, and that's where I'm having difficulty between those two. I don't really know what the criteria are for us to review this properly.
He read it almost word for word.
I read it right from the statute. Yeah. There's really no specific criteria. If it was the redevelopment, then I can tell you here's what we have to do. We've got to draw a map. We've got to advertise. We've got to conduct hearings. We've got to do all that to get all that data in because we're tasked with coming to the conclusions and sending it off. In this case, we're not tasked with drawing the conclusions. They are. They had to do that before they sent it here. Okay. Our task is just to take a look at it and see what we think. Basically, consistency with master plan. You always want, we're a planning board. Our backbone is always our master plan. Is it consistent with your master plan and other comments that you may have that you may think that the council should look at? But
something that would be helpful for me to understand for this would be to have the document that is going to be the next phase of this thing. So I could support it better if I had that document that said that this is what is going to happen as a result of all of these things.
I think you said that there's going to be a tax abatement. How, whatever else there's going to be, I don't know.
But that's up to the council.
The council drafts that next ordinance or next resolution, will we have like another crack at it look at it?
No, the tax abatement
unless they tell us, right?
Yeah, unless they send it over. Under their general referral powers, they can send it to us and ask us to comment on it. But I've never seen a planning board comment on tax abatements. Okay. That's governing body stuff. That's not planning and zoning. Okay.
So would you characterize this ordinance then as sort of a failure of code enforcement? That this is something that the town has decided that they have to incentivize people to take care of the houses because the code enforcement officer can't do it from his end?
I don't think I can comment on that. I don't think it's fair. I think it's a good question, but I don't know if I can necessarily draw that conclusion and agree or disagree with you. I just can't say. But, you know, it may or may not be. I don't know. Because it's not necessarily the rehabilitation that someone's doing or the improvement somebody's making may not be the result of a code violation. It might just be some improvement thing.
I believe it encourages more buyers to come to the table, which means probably better buyers in maintaining. I don't think there's going to be the code enforcement. What they're saying, because they're not going to give you a permit if you have a lot of problems with the town anymore. They're not going to do that.
Well, this is an ordinance for rehabilitation, and we've already said that there are 16% of the houses are vacant and in need of rehabilitation. And will those things can't be dealt with with the administration now, then they have to incentivize people to do it with the tax abatement. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say that this ordinance will incentivize people to rehab property. Whether that's the result of a failure of code enforcement, you know, I don't know if there's enough factual basis that I'm aware of to draw that conclusion.
Okay, I did see one other question from
Pauline Jennings, 27 Love Street. It's rehabilitation. Can a developer use that clause if he comes in and develops a residential area and can he use that exemption? He, entity, whatever. Does that apply to commercial development also?
Yes.
It does apply to commercial, yes.
Okay.
Whether, yes,
it does. But the limit is 25,000.
25,000 is the limit for residential.
Or what's the limit?
Commercial is 30% of the improvement.
30% of the improvement? And the same conditions, a tax abatement for 5 years?
Not an abatement, an exemption of the improvement.
And and you don't make up that 5 years later on when it's re-established?
What do you mean make up the 5 years?
Well, if I have, if I'm a developer and I come in and I develop a whole residential area, so 30% of my development is not assessed as taxable for 5 full years, and then after the five, I have 5 years free of 30% of my taxable.
Right.
That's not recouped after the 5 years. I have 5 years free with 30% of my development. Wow. That's very unfair to the residents.
Well, it's not unfair because this is how you got to look at it. Because otherwise, let's assume without that exemption, then the property doesn't get developed. Then you have a vacant land that's worth a tenth of what it is in 5 years from now. And you're still getting 70% of those ratables for 5 years. And then you're getting 100%, where without that, you could be left with nothing.
Are these tax maintenance, can they be more focused so that it's only for the residential elements in town?
Yes.
But
right. I mean, your discussion now is really a review of the resolution and comment on the resolution. You know, obviously, if this comes before the council, there's going to be a first reading, a second reading, a public hearing, and then a final adoption.
Right? And they're going to say the planning board approved it.
No, they will never say. They will never say the planning board.
How they came to their conclusions, you aren't involved in the process. You can't be held responsible for that.
The only thing they could factually say that would be accurate is that the planning board commented or agreed or whatever you guys decide on the resolution finding.
Following on Ms. Jennings' comments, that would mean that the new development at Paradise Park and Shadow Lawn would be getting these.
Possibly. That's possible.
Any other questions? Sir.
And Mr. Serco, is it okay for me to speak? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, you're speaking on behalf of yourself.
Speaking on behalf of myself. 36,
sure.
Chris Francie, 36 Fifth Street. The clauses that you referenced, Bruce, in the state statutes, seem to go back and forth between rehab, rehabilitation, and redevelopment, and they talk about agencies in charge of the process once you enact these programs. Is that a potential? I mean, the resolution doesn't talk about appointment of a rehabilitation agency, but is that a necessary step for the process to happen?
No, there isn't. If you go about it through the redevelopment period, or the redevelopment way, finding the area of redevelopment, then certain aspects of the statute will require you to have a redevelopment agency or something along those lines. And it actually permits you to assign those authorities to a housing authority. Because we're doing it through an area in need of rehabilitation, you don't need to do that. It's just run through the municipality.
We had a tax abatement program in 1995. Did we have an equivalent resolution then? Or did we just have the program as a standalone ordinance?
I don't know if there was a resolution. The precatory phrases of the ordinance, it's ordinance 095-33, provided the planning board advised the governing body by letter dated October 31st, 1995, that the board had reviewed the issue of the readoption of tax-based programming and was in favor of designating all properties within the borough as areas of need of rehabilitation. So that was done in 1995. The 1980 ordinance does not have any such indication, though. There were actually two subsequent ordinances in 97 and 04, but they were really just revisions to the 95 ordinance, so they don't make any reference to that.
On the surface, seems like a win-win at this point. I'm not sure what the downside is. You're saying to me that there is no agency that comes between the council and the process, and there is in redevelopment, right? So there are no enhanced powers to this agency like eminent domain, which...
No, absolutely not.
So at this point, this is purely the council enabling, trying to encourage development.
Right, and that's an importance for several sections of the master plan that talk about using tax incentives and rehabbing property and right. things of that nature.
The fact that developers would be included, I think you answered that question very quickly. At this point, you're getting 70%. 5 years goes by very fast, and if it entices them to do the development, which is not happening now, I don't see how it's. I think it's good.
Net gain.
Sorry.
Net gain. It's a gain.
I really do. At this point, as long as there is no agency in between, no agency with increased powers, we're not relying on the HPP or some other intermediary.
No, I mean HPP or Housing Authority or Redevelopment Agency. I know a lot of times people hear rehab or redevelopment, they think immediately eminent domain. This is no part of eminent domain.
That
does not move the borough anywhere closer to having eminent domain power than it has with or without this resolution.
Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions from the audience? Seeing none, we'll close the public question portion for this witness. Any other questions or comments from the board? We'll call Marty Truscott to talk.
Yeah, I didn't realize Bruce was going to be here. Marty Truscott.
Solemnly swear to testimony about to give this matter the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Please state your name for the record and your affiliation with the board.
Yes. Martin Truscott, TRUSCOTT, with the firm of Tina Associates. I didn't realize that Bruce, Mr. Perdue, was going to be here as the borough attorney to elaborate on the resolution, and he's done a good job and very comprehensively, and even got into the whole tax abatement. There's a lot of questions on tax abatement, so I really don't have too much more to add. Just maybe one thing in terms of the resolution that Mr. Padula prepared lists pretty comprehensively different reasons why the area in need of rehabilitation is consistent with your master plan. And then in my preparation for the meeting, I did find an additional objective of their master plan that you could even more rely on. That's why it's consistent. And on page H19 of the 2004 master plan, the goal is to expand utilization of the redevelopment and rehabilitation laws of the state of New Jersey to provide tax incentives for the improvement of housing stock in the borough. So that's
about says it right there.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah. So and in your 2007 re-examination, master plan re-examination report, the planning board acknowledged within that that it took note of the 1995 area need of rehabilitation and tax abatement ordinance, so that was in effect. So I think it's really consistent with your master plan. And as Mr. Serpico has mentioned, the board's task is just a recommendation, any kind of comments you have. You don't have to deal with consistency, but if you want to, as a planning board, it makes sense, and that's part of your jurisdiction. But you know, I just want to mention that. And I think Mr. Padula has really covered the whole what I was prepared to talk about, what area in need of rehabilitation is versus in need of redevelopment. But he's covered all that already. So I'll take any questions if necessary.
Okay.
Were you in discussions with the council with the decision about the whole town versus portions of the town?
No. I'm just here really sitting in for Rob Keady. Who's, you know, I thought I'd be more comfortable dealing with the topic. But no, I've not really been involved with this resolution at all.
Other questions?
Just a comment, I mean, kind of picking up on Peter's point before. I mean, from my point of view, one recommendation this board might want to make to the council is, in addition to something like this, the town should also, in conjunction with that, focus on code enforcement.
Can I follow up on that a little bit? There is one of the findings, the findings that under the statute for area need rehabilitation, it really is talking about, you're really talking about disinvestment or underutilization, not necessarily active code enforcement. And I think your point is very good, Peter, but I just want to make sure that there's, it's not really a deficiency of government in terms of what is being done, but really but about disinvestment and, as I say, underutilization. It talks about the findings that a significant portion of the structures are deteriorated or substandard. Now, that might be code enforcement, but those things do happen as they get older, too, or if they're let go. A continuing pattern of vacancy, that, you know, that's something that not necessarily everybody, we can all stop and have some positive impact. Abandonment, underutilization of properties, persistent arrearage in property tax payments. So those are all things that are more structural in nature than something that's, that has something to do with what we can necessarily do on ourselves. And then half the housing stock has to be, and one of the conditions is half over 50 years old. Well, the borough itself doesn't meet that requirement. But so that's, again, that's really when the housing stock got built. And so that's, again, just structural. Majority of the water and sewer infrastructure is over 50 years old. The borough meets that requirement. There's a finding from the borough engineer on that. So those are things that, I mean, you're talking about more global, and it's sort of global factors that really affect what's going on, and the town trying to push back on that in terms of with this with the tax incentives and of going through this added improvements and having the abatement. So I just think that, I think that's important. So there are some other, you know, bigger factors that the town's trying to deal with.
Yeah, the point was that it needs to be a holistic global approach. No one approach is likely to solve the problem.
And there's, I think, an issue also of the guy who wants to put a swimming pool in is going to get an abatement, and it's not necessarily going to be the guy that has the lab and house downtown that's going to come from us. Is that
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, maybe, you know, the next step in this, and this is really, you're getting into really the legislative aspects of it, you know, maybe the borough council is going to set up an ordinance, a structure an ordinance, which, will, because it's not land use or zoning, it's not going to really come back to the planning board. And that could be part of your recommendations, that maybe it could be tailored, so maybe it doesn't cover swimming pools, but it's an improvement that's going to help improve the neighborhood and provide, you know, improve the aesthetics of the neighborhood or something like that.
And that will turn into a permanent rater. I mean, in the end, for 5 years, it's, you're not collecting it, but then it's a permanent radio.
That's true.
And the other thing is, anybody who invests in property, generally, I mean, investment is going to buy it and then fix it up, is going to bring it up to code. And this allows some people who are not up to code to come up to code without having a tax hit. You know, there are a lot of houses in town that just were built before some of the folks are gone.
Can I address that, too? There's a specific statutory definition that will translate into the ordinance on improvement, which means improvement means a modernization, rehabilitation, renovation, alteration, or repair which produces a physical change in an existing building or structure that improves the safety, sanitation, decency, or attractiveness of the building or structure as a place for human habitation or work, and which does not change its permitted use.
So that might not mean that Chatter Lawn could build their they're not going to rehabilitate existing buildings. Is that
right? That's why I couldn't commit. I'm sorry. That's why I couldn't commit and say definitely. And it was more of a non-definitive that they may, but they may not. When you get into the meat of all these definitions, I mean, we use the word improvement and, you know, structure and dwelling every day, but there's specific definitions, and it has to fall into all the criteria within the statute. You know, believe me, the legislature did not do this in a haphazard way. I mean.
Right.
The state in general doesn't love this from a general point of view. That's why it doesn't mean they want to discourage its use, but they want to limit its use to where it's appropriate, and that's why there's these specific definitions within the statute.
Can I just have a point of clarification?
Hold on 1 second, please. We're just following our procedure. I am going to open it up to the public in just a minute. Just want to see if the board has any more questions. So then I'll open it up to the public for Mr. Truscott's testimony.
I just had a point of clarification for Mr. Truscott. Did he say...
Your name and address?
Oh, sorry. My name is Eileen Scanlon at 24 Fifth Street.
Okay.
I didn't quite catch what he heard. Did he say that the housing stock is more than 50 years old in the borough or is not?
It's not. From what I understand. as a borough, as the entire borough.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
It's pretty close, though.
Well, no, this is the problem. We can't say definitively that it's not. What we know for a fact is that your master plan says the median housing is 1962. That means half of the houses were built before 1962. But that's in the master plan. Since then, there's been some development. So we can't prove definitively without doing more research. Right now, based on the census records, we could show that 47.7% of the houses in the borough are more than 50 years old. Now, why we can't get more definitive of that is the census data for age of housing goes in 10-year increments. So we need 1962, so 50 years ago. That's the trigger year. All we have census data-wise is 1960 to 1969. So we know that 62 was the median in 2004 or 2007 when we did the master plan, but and we know we're close based on the census data, 47.7%, but we just don't have enough information to get past that 50%.
Well, there's also something here where it goes into utilities and stuff like that.
Right, it doesn't.
We certainly know they're all over 50 years.
No, that's the thing. It doesn't just necessarily have to be 50% of the housing is more than 50 years old. There's other criteria.
Any other questions of the witnesses? No. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any other questions or comments or summary or anything?
Comments?
Should I open it up for?
Sure.
Okay. At recommendation of our board attorney, I'm going to open up the public meeting for any comments that the public might have in addition to any
questions.
You have
to be sworn in and actually testify. Before you're asking questions, now you're going to actually give an opinion or make a statement.
Okay.
Please raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this matter with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Pauline Jennings, 27 Brad Street.
Thank you.
My comment is it beneficial to the borough, going back to the development, having 30% abatement for 5 years, will this actually encourage flipping? In other words, a developer comes in, develops a property, and then gets his tax abatement and within 5 years, and then says, thank you very much, I'm out of here, I'm going to sell. And you are better off in that you have a redeveloped property, but you've had 30% less in taxes from this, but you haven't had 30% less in use of infrastructure that we talk about is a mess. Just a comment for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any comments? Yes, sir.
Brian Cowell, Recreation.
Please raise your right hand. Solemnly swear testimony about to give this man the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Again, please state your name and address for the record.
Brian Cobb, 11 Recreation Place.
Thank you.
Mr. Truska mentioned that a rehab, correct me if I'm wrong, rehab is consistent with master plan. He went on to say rehab is about underutilization of property. Properties are not improved, no one's abandoned. Mr. Padilla went on to say improvement. You read a definition of improvement from, I believe, another ordinance?
No, it's from state statute.
Oh, from state statute. Can you give me the statute number?
Sure. 40A, 21-3.
I believe it's 3. But 3. We will get it later on.
-3.
That's close enough. Okay. My point is the definition of improvement was read. It seemed to be very limited. There were limitations. Then I read the ordinance, the proposed ordinance here, and it says there could be governing the limited area within a municipality or the entire municipality. And I take it that the board is considering designating the entire municipality as rehabilitation area.
No, that's not what the board is considering. That's what the council considered.
Council could consider it.
That's board. The council makes that determination, not the board.
Okay, the council can make that determination.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Depending on how they write the ordinance.
Right.
And my opinion to the council, not to this board, since it's not your job, would be that this rehab ordinance should be about underutilized properties, and that has to be conditional, written into the ordinance. This is not about taking river property that has, you know, an older building on it, or is, it doesn't qualify for modernization or some other language, and basically opening up the entire town to this kind of exemption or abatement. I just think I'm just surprised that, and from the discussions I've heard tonight, that seems to be a distinct possibility, that the ordinance could be written, the borough could write an ordinance in that way. And I sincerely hope that doesn't happen.
Any other comments? No? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion in that regard. Any other summary or
discussion from the board? Recommendations in the form of a resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve as submitted to us.
Okay.
The resolution. I'm curious, is there any interest in limiting the area or limiting the uses I mentioned before? Uses that can be abused, whether it's a single-family home-based or commercial?
Well, you got a very specific motion on the floor.
Okay.
For procedural point of view. See if you get a second and vote. If it doesn't carry, then the reintroduction of another motion with your points considered. Because right now it's as written. Without
I'll
comments.
Second.
Without comments. So you have a motion and a second.
And
Mr. Colby and Mr. Hill.
Any other discussion on the motion?
It's just as submitted, so I guess I need a vote. Find out if this is what the board wants or not.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to call the roll. We got a motion and a second.
No other discussion, so we got a motion and a second.
The only thing I think, you didn't give us much time to think about this thing. You know, go over it a little better. You're kind of jumping the gun as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I'd like to read the statute, too, the 40s-A statute.
You can't do that. You've got a motion.
No. I'm saying, I'm just giving you a discussion before this vote. That's
okay.
I really feel uncomfortable voting for something that I have so little information.
That's up to you. That's your call.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Yeah.
Ms. Schulner?
No.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schulner? No. Ms. Peterson?
No.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Stockton?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
4-3.
Four yeses.
Motion carries.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is the way I feel.
Thank you for listening to me, for sure.
You did good.
So you guys are tired of listening to lawyers, so I'm going to.
Next item on our agenda is number 11, approval of minutes from the August 9th planning board meeting, and in your packet you do have those.
I'll make a motion for that.
Second.
Mr. Mullen? Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schulman?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Stockton said you left the meeting.
I'm going to abstain because I did have to leave the meeting.
Mr. Colby.
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is communications, number 12. And under that, we have a letter in our packets from the Freehold Soil Conservation District to review. Nothing really to comment on there. And next item on the agenda is a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Meeting is adjourned.